Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
That isn't the time for an airing of grievances.
Pro Football Talk.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Mike Florio with Bernstein and Holmes on The Score.
It's Wednesday, it's 11 o'clock, and that means Mike Florio time at Pro Football Talk on Twitter. He is with us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today, twitch.tv/Chicago670, The Score. Hello, Mike, how are you?
I am doing great, how are you?
We're good. The Tua Tagovailoa situation, the placing of him on injured reserve, it's we're always conflicted in this regard. We had a conversation last week with Dr. Chris Nowinski, and we're sort of relitigating some of these things about how we watch football and when we care. Somebody said to me, you know, that happens every game. We're talking about Tua because he's Tua, and we saw it happen. He goes, but there's a guy in a punt return. There's a guy in a kickoff return that we've never heard of going into that blue tent. And why do we make such a big deal out of that but don't care as much about the other guy?
Well, I think it just kind of happened organically that Tua became the face and the name associated with concussions because of the week three 2022 back injury that we all knew was a concussion, and it forced the NFL to redefine how it goes about spotting when someone has what they used to call gross motor instability, and they now call ataxia following a head injury. Then four nights later, the violent collision with the ground as he was whipsawed to the turf, almost like a rag doll, and he went into the fencing posture and straight to the hospital. And we were kind of on pins and needles watching every time he'd play, is the next play the one that's going to cause a concussion that will end his career? He made it through all of last year without a concussion, and we forgot about it, but we always knew or should have known he's one play away from another concussion, and now we're back in that spot. So with him, it's different. With everyone else, when there's a concussion, and I'm not saying this is right or wrong, this is just the way it plays out. When there's a concussion, it's about getting through the steps and getting cleared to play. We've seen players cleared to play as soon as 6 days after a concussion. That happened with Brock Purdy last year. He had a concussion on a Monday night in Minnesota. By Sunday at home against the Bengals, he was playing. Usually, if a guy misses a game, it's one game. You rarely see a guy get put on injured reserve because of a concussion. With Tua, it's happened twice. So I think with him, it kind of breaks the mold on how we go about reacting to football injury. We talked about this earlier today on PFT Live. We're wired to wait while the injured player is tended to, clap while he leaves the field, whether he walks off, is helped off, or is taken off on a cart or a stretcher. And the game keeps going. I mean, that's why they were going to keep playing the DeMar Hamlin game. And the NFL is so sensitive about that. Oh, how dare you suggest we would have played? That's what you always do. You move on from the player who's injured and you keep playing the game. And what's different here is with Tua, high profile, it's happened multiple times now. And here we are in a spot where if he comes back, He's coming back to a sport where we know concussions are possible, if not inevitable. So the next one is going to happen with him. It's just a question of when.
Mike, you mentioned breaking the mold with this Tua. I'm just curious as to whether or not a new mold can be formed because of what we're seeing and because of how we're reacting and how the media at large, fans, are treating Tua, because he has become kind of this spokesperson for this. But now, can that change the way the NFL goes about its business when dealing with these types of injuries?
Well, it becomes very difficult because the system is premised on players getting injured, players recovering from the injuries, and players returning to play. And the Tua situation turns it all on its head. And I think at some level, look, I don't know how involved the NFL is in any of these communications or discussions, but there are tentacles that go from the league office down to the teams. You know, at some point, I could see the NFL preferring that he not play again this year. And that's kind of my takeaway from him being placed on injured reserve. Okay, he misses four games, then what? Then what? He comes back and plays and gets another concussion? I almost feel like for him to have the appropriate time and space to make a decision about what's right for him long term, he needs to not play again this year. He needs to remove the urgency of, I got to get back and try to win games and help my team. Let the season play out, let the dust settle, and then make a long-term decision about whether he should play, whether he's cleared to play, and if he is, whether he wants to play. So I don't expect to see him again this year. I don't see a way out of this maze, this combination of medical and PR maze for the NFL, for the Dolphins, and for Tua that gets him back on the field this year.
Hmm.
What if he just says, it's yes or no. It's binary. I'm either cleared or I'm not cleared. The moment I'm cleared, I'm playing. I'm under contract.
Well, that becomes a delicate situation. If he's cleared, and if the league doesn't want him to, what are they going to do? See, I think that and I don't want to be cynical here, but doctor opinions can be influenced by a lot of things. That's why they have independent doctors.
I was going to say, he can go to his own doctor.
Right. And you can have a fight over, he's not clear. We don't want him to be clear. We don't want to have him be the focal point of national news coverage. We don't want to turn on CNN and see a Tua Tagovailoa concussion story that's going to cause parents to take their kids out of tackle football. I mean, that's a real concern for the NFL. So we're not going to clear him. Well, I found a doctor who cleared me. I want to play. And there would be union grievances and who knows how it would play out, but there's $162 million at play here. If he's never cleared, he gets his $162 million in injury guarantees. If he's cleared and he retires, he gets none of it. And on one hand, it's premature to think about that. On the other hand, it's not, because I guarantee you, at some level of the Dolphins organization, they are having strategic conversations about the flow chart that applies here. What are the options? How does this play out? What do we want? What's best for the player? What's best for us to say to the world, regardless of what we secretly want? And we learned from the offseason hard knocks that the truth and what the team says the truth is can be two different things. And we've known that. It's just great to see it because it's not strategically sound to speak the truth all the time. So there's a lot going on here. And I suspect the Dolphins are trying to figure out the best way to handle what ultimately is a $162 million question.
Mike, that's what makes this so fascinating from my perspective, is just that you understand what's really going on and understand the conversations, as you just said, with that flow chart with the Dolphins, what has to be going through that organization. Matt, they have to prepare, like, Tua's not going to come back. They have to prepare, what if he does come back? The NFL, I think it behooves the league for him not to play anymore this season because of all the reasons that you just named. That's why I asked the question about the mold. And I think there is a tipping point here if Tua does come back that has a lot of forced conversation behind it. And I don't know if we're ready for those conversations. Not us. We're always ready for the conversations. But the league to deal with the public outcry, the backlash of the media. This feels different than anything we've ever seen before, and I think this is uncharted territory.
Well, and the reality is we collectively have the attention span of cats fascinated with
ball of string.
Thread, right? And look what happened the last time. He has the concussion that they lied to us about week 3, back injury, bullcrap. Then he has the real concussion. Then he comes back. Then he has the Christmas Day concussion against the Packers where his head hit the ground and nobody knew there was an issue until the next day. They're like, something's wrong with Tua. We better check him out. Oh, he's got a concussion. He was done the rest of the year. And the passage of time, the reset on the season, that seven-month window where we go from one football season to the next, hey, okay, Tua comes back. Tua's cleared. Tua's healthy. Tua's good to go. He goes 18 games last year, regular season and postseason, with no hit injuries. All the talk about learning how to fall and bulking up. Well, now he's thinner. And it wasn't about falling. It was about dropping his helmet into DeMar Hamlin. Now he has the concussion. I don't know that we forget it this time. Last time we forgot it. Now, whether he comes back later this year, and we definitely won't forget it if he comes back later this year, but if he comes back next year, it's still going to be a talking point, and it's not going to go away. Maybe it goes away if he gets through an entire season again. But even then, the fact that it came back around in 2024 keeps us from ever forgetting. And I wonder how much they even paid attention to it when they decided to pay him all that money, because I read the whole contract. The word concussion doesn't show up in there. There's no exception. The only thing that's in there is the ability to buy insurance that will provide the Dolphins up to $49.3 million against the $162 million that they'll lose if he's cleared and never plays again. That's it. There's no exception. There's no waiver. There's no language about concussion issues. And did we all just forget? If we did, shame on us. I don't think we'll forget the next time around.
Mike, does it mean anything that the rookie quarterback class is without a touchdown?
I don't think so, because three of them aren't playing. Three of them are. Jaden Daniels has developed already into one of the best running quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, Bo Nix has been overwhelmed by two great defenses, maybe the two best defenses the Broncos are going to see all year in Seattle and Pittsburgh. And, you know, look, Caleb Williams, still a work in progress. The blocking isn't great. Looks a lot like USC last year, where you got this highly talented player that can't show what he can do because he doesn't have time to do it. There's no running game to draw people up to the line of scrimmage and make it easier to find open receivers. So I don't put a lot of stock into it. It's just 2 weeks. There's a lot of running overall. Passing is down. Field goals. They set the record this weekend with 73 field goals, record for a single weekend. And number three on the all-time field goals in a week list is week one of this year. So it's just kind of a weird start to the season. But we still have 16 weeks of regular season action to go, and we see things change all the time. And I think this is just a reality of limited training camp reps, limited off-season reps. And I feel like more and more, you know, you see limited playing time in the preseason. More and more September is kind of the de facto preseason. The only difference is the games count.
I read what you wrote about the situation in Carolina. And you say, well, which situation in Carolina? The fact that they're the worst team in the league, or it's how the not just the fact of the benching of Bryce Young, but what we're learning retroactively about the drafting, the odd development, quote unquote, and now the benching is David Tepper really doing what you think he's probably doing?
Oh, I think he is. And look, here's the reality. To own an NFL team, I'm reverting back to some of my takes from days gone by.
I see, like, is there Dan Snyder stuff creeping in here?
To drive a car in every state in the union, you have to pass two tests. To own an NFL team, you have to pass no tests. All you have to do is show up with a bag of cash. If you're the highest bidder, wherever you get the money, boom, you can be an NFL owner.
It's like buying a gun.
You don't have to know a damn thing about football, but you can own a team. And once you own that team, no one can take it away from you unless you do something that activates the Mary Jo White investigative process and they come in and they find something and they force you out, like Dan Snyder, like Jerry Richardson, the guy who involuntarily sold to David Tepper 7 or 8 years ago. So once you have the keys, you can drive the car wherever you want, however you want. And I think that's what we're seeing here. He is meddling. He thinks he knows better than the people he's hired to run the team. I think a lot of owners meddle. We don't realize it because they do it artfully. They hide behind the football people. They know how to make their points. And if the football people are smart, they'll do what the boss wants. Tepper has been too involved. He's too impulsive. He's fired coaches of his football team, coaches of his soccer team, coaches or GMs of his football team. I mean, the presidents of this team. The retention rate is low. And I think it's just because he wants it now. These highly successful people who have been able to turn straw into gold everywhere they've gone, they come into a business where it ain't that easy. And they think they can fire people and eventually grope and find the right button and it'll all change. And he wanted David Tepper wanted Bryce Young. It's blown up in his face. Now he's fallen out of love with Bryce Young. What happens next? And my point is this. The only way to push back against that unlimited power is for the quarterbacks in next year's draft class to collectively say to David Tepper, if you draft any of us, we're not signing with your team. We'll sit out a year. We'll live off our NIL money. Ooh. And we'll re-enter the draft next year. Whichever one of us you pick, we're not coming to play for you.
How much more realistic is that? I'm sorry, Mike. I was just curious how much more realistic is that now than, say, 5, 10 years ago before this NIL thing even existed? I mean, we're hearing about all these college players making so much money, and it seems like they're getting more power with that because they don't have to. It's kind of that simple.
It's like football's version of Halley's Comet. It happens every 21 years. It happened in 83 with John Elway and 2004 with Eli Manning, and now 2025. Is it going to happen then? The difference now is you've got guys who have earned money. You've got guys who have learned, you know what? The system lets me go where I want, when I want. I want to get into the transfer portal, I will. So whatever the rules are, I come to the NFL, I don't want to play for that team. What are the rules? I have to sit out a year? Fine. I got my money. The only challenge is the PR side of it, because fans and media buy into this baloney that it's an honor and a privilege to be drafted. It is not an honor and a privilege to be drafted by a bad team. It is not an honor and a privilege to be drafted by a team that is going to destroy your career or at least delay it. Ask Geno Smith about an honor and a privilege of being drafted by the Jets. Ask Sam Darnold about the honor and the privilege of being drafted by the Jets. Hell, for all we know, Christian Hackenberg would have worked out somewhere else. Zach Wilson still might work out somewhere else. And Bryce Young, if he goes, you know, people are like, well, you know, the Texans dodged a bullet because they wanted Bryce Young and they ended up having C.J. Stroud fall into their laps. Hey, if the Panthers had taken Stroud and the Texans had gotten Young, there's a chance Young's pretty good and Stroud is benched. Wow. There's so much more beyond the innate skills of the quarterback. Yep. And I try to get people sensitive to that because people get mad. How dare you? It's like you've signed up for the Harry Potter sorting hat.
Wow.
And you have no say in the matter whatsoever, right?
It's a great
Why
reference.
Is it that way?
Hey, Mike, you mentioned C.J. Stroud, and I'm sure you've seen the video and you've heard the sound of C.J. Stroud pulling Caleb Williams over and offering him unsolicited advice. We were debating this, of where Stroud is coming from. I found it to be a little presumptuous, if not performative on his part. I think it's one thing. What do you think the protocol is for when you can give advice like you're an OG quarterback in that moment after a hard-fought NFL game? If you're the same age as a guy to go over and treat him like he's your kid, I could understand if Caleb Williams is like, look, I might hear this from Aaron Rodgers. I'm not hearing it from you.
Well, and the other side of it too, look, I think there's a segment of the media and the fan base that wants to find fault with anything and everything Caleb Williams does. So it distorts our view and our reaction to what he does. I try to watch objectively. Yeah, he seems like a guy who just lost a football game and really isn't interested in getting a lecture at midfield about basic, obvious stuff. Keep mm-hmm. fighting. I mean, I don't need to hear cliches. I want to go change my clothes and get the hell out of here. So, you know, I think some made too much of it. But you're right. At what point did C.J. Stroud become Tom Brady?
That's very
He's not there yet. So I think it was just a weird thing all around. I think it's not C.J. Stroud's place to preach to a guy who's just 1 year behind him by way of experience. And from Caleb's perspective, you know, look, you just lost a game. You really, you don't want to hear it. But I wasn't surprised. I was disappointed, but I wasn't surprised that the knee-jerk reaction by most was, oh, who does Caleb think he is?
No, that wasn't my reaction at all. My reaction was, and I said,
Who does CJ Stroud think he is? Yeah, that's exactly what Dan's reaction
was. We're the same age, man.
Yeah, that's the other thing. They're a year apart in NFL playing experience, but they're a month apart in actual age. And I think, as we talked about, it had very much the big brother syndrome, aka you just got sunned on Sunday night football. And I'm not trying to hear that, man. Like,
and the cameras are there, the microphones are there.
And that's the thing. They know the mics are there, and that's why it can come off as performative.
Well, the point he was trying to make.
Mike, thank you as always. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
That is Mike. You too. Have a good one. That is Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. Before Chicago takes on Indianapolis, tune in Sunday morning from 9 to noon for the Your Local Ford Dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by Aurelio's. Join Mully Olin Kreutz and Patrick Manley. They get you set for the game immediately following the Cubs postgame show at approximately 4:30. Mully, Olin, and Manley will have instant reaction on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Wonderverse. All of it can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app. I mentioned that name, Olin Kreutz. He was on Friday talking about his relationship with the Tagovailoa family and what he thinks is going to happen. You heard Florio lay it out, big picture. Well, there's some insider stuff from Olin on The Score that I thought was really worth bringing back because it's very, very strong. You're going to want to hear it next on The Score.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Trips to the left, the receiver to the right. Tagovailoa drops back to pass, steps up in the pocket. He's going to keep it. He lowers his shoulder, gets down close to the five-yard line. Uh-oh. He is hit hard.
Oh, no.
He is down on the field. It's a gain of six. He has a first down, but the concern now is about Tagovailoa, who has battled concussions for most of his career. And he took a licking.
This is absolutely the worst and last thing anybody wanted to see. We know Tua Tagovailoa's history with concussions, and that did not look good.
The reason it didn't look good, Westwood One, is because it's not good. And nobody wants to see it, and some of us don't want to be reminded of what we're watching and why we're watching it. And I've always admitted this, and it's taken me a long time to sort of figure out this position of hypocrisy. I'm a hypocrite when it comes to football.
We're all hypocrites. It's just the level of hypocrisy for everyone.
But it's a horrible, horrible, violent brutal sport. And I love it. I love it. And I've said it's other people's children destroying their brains for my entertainment.
I mean, if you want to keep it a buck, that's what it is. Because it's a violent sport. And the violence, when you're at a game, or even when you're on your couch, and somebody gets their block knocked off.
And we're like, oh,
did you see that hit? Yeah. Did you see that? Like, we do that the same way for a hit as we do a great catch, a great cut, a great block.
And even knowing that it's the subconcussive hits and the click, 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 click of the helmets, even knowing that that's adding up.
Because we tell ourselves, oh, that's what they signed up for. They knew the risk, which is not, in my older age, the most mature stance to take. Nope. when watching bad things happen.
I know it. I admit it. Hey, I grew up a boxing fan. I grew up a huge boxing fan.
I mean, this goes back to like the days of the gladiators, right?
We were talking about Justin Steele yesterday, right?
Yes.
So we were talking about there's nothing quite like that feeling when you're kind of connecting with an ancient pre-evolutionary part of your brain. You know, that is a... I know it. I know football's bad. But it still is hard for me to listen to players who, as informed as they are and as rich as they are, simply can't quit it. And this is when I kept thinking of this when Olin Krutz was talking with Matt Spiegel and David Haw about Tua Tagovailoa and what he knows about that family.
I do know Tua Tagovailoa. He's from my high school, right? He's from Honolulu, Hawaii. He's from St. Louis High School in Honolulu, Hawaii. I know his family. I know Tua well enough to know this. He's not walking away from the game, guys. He's not. So he is that kind of guy. He loves football. Is it a smart choice? That I don't know. I'm not in a room with the doctors, right? I'm not in a room with them. I know when you watch that, when you know what has happened to him, you do get worried, right? You do get worried for a young man. You do get worried for his family. You do get worried about life after football, right? Now being 47 years old, I have two sons who played Illinois. Obviously, health is an important thing that we talk about a lot. We all know the bargain that we're making with this game. We all know what we're getting out of this game, and we all know how dangerous this game is. So without all the information, it's hard to give a guy advice, right? And if I talk to Tua, I say collect the information, and you got to do what you feel like you and your family need to do. I know the dad. I know the dad pretty well. I know where they're from. I have talked to them. They are not stepping away from this game, guys. Right? They're from where I'm from. They play football. We're a warrior culture in Hawaii. That's the way things are. You may like it. You may agree with it. You may not. That's up to you. Right? We don't force you to think certain things. We think a certain way. You do what you got to do. I will ask the players this, who are all saying that. I would ask Antonio Pierce this. Would you? Right? It's easy to say it. Right? I would ask all the former players on ESPN. I would ask when you stand in front of a microphone and you say the things that you think everybody wants to hear from you. And it's great. But I would ask Antonio Pierce this. Would you walk away from the game in your 20s? Would you do it? And I bet you the answer would be no. Right? And now we're talking about forcing a guy to do something he doesn't want to do. Right? Now you're going on a slippery slope. So I would say this, collect all the information you can, make the best decision for yourself. But if I had to bet on anything, I would bet you Tua's not going anywhere.
That is strong stuff from Olin Krutz, and he's so good. He's so good. And you can just tell that that's from a real place. And there's no equivocation in that. He knows what's going on. What the line that struck me is, he's from where I'm from. We are a warrior culture in Hawaii.
Yeah, I think that part and the part where he's saying NFL players, former players, would you give it up in your trip? We know the answer because we've heard some of them talk about it. You talk about being addicted to that, whether it's the adrenaline, this is what they know, can't imagine doing something else. Something that most athletes do face in their careers, no matter what they do, but specifically with football, because it is a different type of culture in the game itself. I'm not surprised at all that he believes Tua, unless a doctor says you can't play anymore, is going to come back and play. And that's maybe as much about the money as anything else, but, you know, he has money. He's not poor. He's made money. But the nine-figure contract that's on the table, and just the fact that he believes, because of how he was raised, that family, what they believe, how they look at the game of football. You can go back to like his college years and understand how that family looks at football. And I think all of that added up means Tua's going to come back. It's just a matter of if and when. One of the things Mike Florio talked about was, oh, we saw him get that concussion, shut down for the season, Christmas Day, because it was the end of the season. Now that it's happened this early in the season, it's a different conversation, and it's not going to go away over the course of the offseason. Yes, we all have shorter attention spans than people did 20, 30 years ago, but we know what Tua is. We know what he represents.
It's just a matter of the level at which one glorifies it. And I think that Olin did.
We all glorify it, though. We're all guilty of that.
I think Olin did a nice job of being proud of his culture and supportive of his friend while also leaving room for us to have different opinions on what decision we would make. Because it's The one thing about football is, and talking about loves the game, and you talk about the culture of the sport separate from that, what he's talking about, the warrior culture of Hawaii and the Maori and wherever that ancient history may be. But it's a matter of the extent of the glorification of it. And that's what I think high schools are learning about and doing better at, is not getting too caught up in some of the mythos of
I don't think the mythos is going anywhere
of the game and this, you know,
I think parents are getting more involved in understanding how dangerous this sport is compared to all the other sports. Like a lot of sports you play, oh, you may tear an ACL or break a bone, but that's all healable. When you're talking about someone's brain, that's different. That's different. That's on the same level of you found out your child has a heart condition because they collapsed on the court or the field or whatever. The brain and heart are different than all these other things we talk about.
And believe it or not, a heart can be repaired.
Yes.
You can get in there and do surgery, and you can pop a new valve in there. There's all kinds of things they can do. They can do electrical ablations for arrhythmia. They can put stents in. They can clean. You can. A heart is a machine, heart machine, and you can do all that. You can't do that with a brain.
847 on the text line. By the time a player reaches the NFL, he has had a decade of subconcussive collisions. Why do you think he can make an informed decision after that?
Well, then we're getting into some of the science of the people who are susceptible to some of the early deterioration and the people who are not and what that means. So I don't know that I know enough. I just know, have you ever been to a press conference or any time where a player has retired due to concussions?
I've not.
I have. And I've to see the look in their eye and the fear, the enormity.
Well, if it's enough that they have to retire, that means the cart has gone past the horse and it's rolling out of control, and a bunch of people are trying to chase it down, throw things at it to slow it down.
It's really one of the most sobering moments, and it's not all of this hullabaloo of "Hey, I'm retiring." It's the doctor said I have to retire right now.
It's, you know, it reminds me of when, I mean, I don't know what year Any Given Sunday came out, but like the whole thing with the Lawrence Taylor's character and like wanting to play, and just they finally let him play. I'm like, yeah, this is a little too close to home.
This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. High Noon is next. If you have been thinking you might have been seeing an old favorite candy bar, you're right, because it's back.
I can't wait to find out what candy bar this is.
You might be a little too young. A little too young.
We'll find out together.
It's next.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there. Out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High Noon?
It's midweek High Noon. That means this is the middle of your work week. This means you are over the hump on hump day. It's the middle of our show. Well, not really today because it's a short show, but then you're sliding on in. We talked to Mike Florio. We also had some conversations about a timetable on Keenan Allen, hoping that they'll just say, hey, here's what the injury is. Here's how bad it is. Here's when we can expect him to be back and playing. We heard Donovan McNabb's thoughts on providing a little bit of patience for Caleb Williams. Olin on Tua Tagovailoa was excellent as well.
It's high noon.
So I don't think you're going to remember the candy bar. I was a huge, huge fan of the Reggie bar. Named after Reggie Jackson.
Mr. October.
It was an unmistakable bright orange wrapper. Came out in the late 1970s. I believe in 78, you could get it for a quarter. And I loved it. And it wasn't just because I was a huge Reggie Jackson fan, because Reggie was awesome. That was part of it. It was a legitimately good candy bar. It was really soft, stringy, gooey caramel covered in chocolate and roasted peanuts. And usually the first bite, if you pulled your teeth away, it was like the commercial. It would, the caramel would string out.
Super sticky.
Yes.
And it kind of had that cluster.
Yeah,
it's going to take you a minute to get through the first bite.
And the whole thing. It was an experience.
Which is good because candy bars go too quick when you just eat them like in three bites and it's over.
That one doesn't let you do it. The Reggie bar's back. The Reggie bar is back.
How?
Well, this is an incredible story. Chris Nishwadi of Fast Company, who's a wonderful writer, decided to research because he saw it in like a bodega in New York. He's like, wait, what? What? And he mentions that, he was in California. Yeah, and he said, I was drawn to it like a mosquito to a bug zapper. I put down the case of bottled water my wife had sent me to pick up. And began racing through some quick math. $20 divided by $2.99 equals 6. I had enough for 6 Reggie bars. I walked out of the store feeling like a kid again. This, of course, is not how grown men should act. But here I was, like Jack from Jack and the Beanstalk, blowing the last of his family's savings on some magic beans, except in this case, the magic beans were delicious discs of chocolate, caramel, and roasted peanuts endorsed by a power-hitting New York Yankees legend. So what did he do? He was so inspired, he tracked down the story. So it's a history of the copyrights, the ownership. It's a small Canadian company. It was just a Canadian husband and wife who had been researching defunct candies.
Trying to bring something back.
Buying it up on the cheap.
I believe that.
It was like $200. But then all they needed to produce it again was Reggie Jackson's permission. So they had to go to Reggie Jackson and say, is it okay? And the writer got in touch with Reggie, and he said, the voice of the 78-year-old Hall of Famer is clear and familiar. He said, as I speak, I've caught him in his garage photographing his 1966 Mercedes 300 SE AMG.
Ooh.
Valued at nearly $1.5 million in one of the numerous vehicles he owns.
I love that.
He's shooting photos to send to a potential buyer. Yeah, the first thing he wants to know from me is how much I paid for my Reggie bar. I tell him. He thinks this over. And he said, what did you think? Did it taste like you remembered? It's modeled after the Wayne Bun bar, first produced in 1947 by the Wayne Bun Candy Company in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And if you remember, it was born out of a boast.
Don't remember that.
When Reggie left the Orioles, he told the media if he ever got a chance to play in New York City, he'd become such a massive star they'd name a candy bar after him.
And they did.
After they won the World Series, it was originally the Curtis Candy Company. They were makers of the Baby Ruth. They pitched to Hershey's and Mars. Both the big guys turned it down. So Curtis, which was part of Standard Brands, which are now both subsumed by Nabisco. And famously, remember what Catfish Hunter said? That he said, Javish Hunter said, when you unwrap a Reggie bar, it tells you how good it is.
That tracks.
And the Reggie bar earned $11 million in the New York area alone in 1978. The candy was briefly resurrected in 1993, but they replaced the Caramel Center with peanut butter. But then that company went bankrupt. But this couple in Canada, the Crystal and Burt Westergaard in Camrose, Alberta, had an experience of buying up a defunct candy in Canada called the Cuban Lunch.
Never heard of that.
I'd never heard of it either.
I don't know what translates from Canadian to American, but
it was called Cuban Lunch was the name of it. So they had success doing it, and then they started looking for other brands, and they ran into the Reggie bar, and they got Reggie's permission. He said, send me a business proposal, and he signed off. And they give him a percentage of every bar sold, and some of the proceeds of the Reggie bar go to Reggie Jackson's charity, focuses on STEM education for underserved kids.
Ooh, that's a great story.
Yep.
And it's a great unearthed story, not only by the journalists who, of course, found the Reggie bar at the bodega, but just to go get the story and to find out how it came back, how Reggie and the couple came to an agreement, and sounds like it's beneficial to everyone, especially the consumer in this case.
And apparently they really were careful about how it works and what they had. That wrapper had to be bright orange again. And so they went to a company to do the prototypes because Reggie had to taste it. Reggie wasn't going to sign off until he tried it. So the only thing that Reggie added was he said more peanuts.
Mm.
So I'm down with that. And then they said that the caramel needed to be less brown and more honey-colored like it was in the commercials that they watch on YouTube.
Wow.
Said it had to have the amber appearance, and it had to have that gooey runniness. It may not seem like a big deal, but people care.
Yeah, because this is, as most things are in 2024, with the target audience of 25 to 54, even older than that, nostalgia is more powerful than I ever could have imagined as a child. It really is. And I think this Reggie Bar story is an example of that. But also, there's examples of nostalgia just taking money to the bank every day if you just pay attention to everything that's going on around you.
Got a little Bears news from Brad Biggs.
He
says Keenan Allen will not practice today.
Oh, man.
Tevin Jenkins with a deep thigh bruise will not practice today. Kari Blasingame and Zach Pickens will not practice today. Now, that wasn't the question. The question on Keenan Allen is, what's the timetable? You've been asking. We still don't know. You know what we do know? We're going to talk some quarterbacking. Sexy football coming up next. We are going to get to the bottom of the struggles of Caleb Williams with Tim Jenkins, our private quarterback coach. He's next on The Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.